as we prepare our hearts to worship God today. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. You'll find the words in your bulletin. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name and make the Lord's praise glorious. All the earth bows down to you, O God. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, the Lord's awesome deeds for humankind. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for the kind of God you are. Yes, you are holy and just, and yet you are also merciful and loving and kind and gracious even to us, we who are sinners in your sight. So, Lord, as we seek to worship you with all our hearts this day, remind us that indeed you are ready to receive our praise and worship through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please be seated. As we're working our way through our favorite hymns, one of the things I'm trying to encourage you to do is to think about the words of hymns as we sing them. As we offer praise to God, we need to know what we're praising God for and how we're praising God. And one of the things in the hymn we just sang, the name for God, the Ancient of Days. Have you ever thought about that? That that's a name for God? Where did that come from? Well, it comes from Daniel chapter 7. It literally means kind of the aged one or the eternal one. So it reminds us that God is eternal and we are not. There's so many things. God is and we are not. God is holy and we are not. Let us confess that to the Lord as we use the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, We live in a world filled with violence and cruelty, and sometimes we are afraid. We think of the possibility of war and terrorism and all of the destruction they bring, and we are afraid. We look into the future, and we don't know what will happen, and we are afraid. Remind us that as long as you are our light and our stronghold, ultimately nothing can harm us or separate us from your love and care in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. Did you just say that you were a sinner? Well, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the good news. When we confess our sin and say to God that we are sinful, God reminds us, well, you're the very one that I sent Jesus to come and save, so that through Jesus Christ, our sins are completely washed away. Amen. Invite all the children now to come forward for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today. Well, we have a special treat today. Mickey McClure is going to do the children's sermon. Mickey historically leads the Bible stories, teaches the Bible stories for Vacation Bible School, and not just because she's sitting here, but let me tell you, she does a great job. I learn a lot from Mickey when she does that. So I wanted her to share a Bible story with the children today. So Mickey, thank you so much for helping us out.
Thank you, Steve. I put him off in June, and I put him off in July, and you can't tell him no three times in a row. So I'm going to pretend I'm talking to the children. That's where I'm very comfortable. So I'll talk to them, and you all want to listen, you can just listen, okay? I think everybody here was in Bible school, and I remember we had a lot of wonderful stories when we were here. Does anybody remember what the theme to our Bible school week was? What was it?
It was shipwrecked.
It was shipwrecked. And what does Jesus do when we're shipwrecked? He rescues us, yes. He takes care of us, doesn't he? We told some stories during Bible school, and they were called parables. Do you remember what a parable is? No? Well, I'm going to remind you. I hope after today you'll remember what a parable is. A parable is a story in the Bible that Jesus tells. Jesus tells the story, and the story he tells has a special meaning. It has a special lesson for us to learn. So today I'm going to remind you of one of the parables that we learned and we talked about. You probably remember it because you crawled around on the floor like little sheep. It's called the lost sheep. First, before we talk about the parable, I know you could probably tell it, Ava. Before we talk about it, I want to ask you some questions just to see how smart you are about sheep, okay? Do you know the name of the mama sheep, the female sheep? What is a female sheep called? What? It's a girl, but she has a special name. It's called a you. Not you, but it's a you. It's spelled differently. Can you say you? You. Who knows the name of the boy sheep, of the male sheep, the daddy sheep? What's the daddy sheep's name? No, it's different. Not a you. It's called... No, but that's close. That's close. It's called a ram. You know, the ram is the sheep that has the big, big horns. That's kind of my favorite sheep. You know why? I'm not talking to you all. It's because it's Carolina blue sometimes, okay? That's my favorite sheep, okay? Now, who knows? I know you know the answer to this one. Who knows the name of the baby sheep? The little bitty. What? Little bitty. It's a baby sheep. I know some of you sleep with one. A little lambie, maybe? A little lamb? Did you know a lamb was a baby sheep? Yeah. You know, sometimes that's what God calls Jesus, the Lamb of God. And that's what he calls it. In the Bible, that sheep is used again and again. Do you know that the name of the sheep is mentioned more times in the Bible than any other animal? That's because during Bible times, they used to get their clothing from sheep. They used to get their feed from sheep. And there's like 1,000 different kinds of sheep. They all look alike to us, but there's like 1,000 different kinds of sheep. But in the Bible times, they had sheep, and that's what they did all the time. And the person that took care of the sheep was called the shepherd. Can you say shepherd? Yeah, the shepherd would take care of the sheep. Well, let's talk about that parable. I know you remember it now that you know some stuff about sheep. Well, this man in the story had 100 sheep. That's a lot of sheep, right? And guess what? He fed them. He gave them water. He watched them lay down to sleep. And every night, he would count them. And one night, one was missing, wasn't it, Maggie? And he's like, I've got to go find it. So he asked his friend to stay there with the other sheep, 99 of them. I don't know, he had 99. Why did he have to go look for one, right? But he wanted to find that lost sheep. And he went to look for it, and he asked his friend to stay with the other 99. And he looked, and he looked, and he searched, and he searched. And did he find it? Do you remember whether he found it or not? It was lost, and he had to keep looking. You know what? During Bible school, we crawled around and baaed, and we lost a sheep that night, too, if you remember. But didn't we? Yeah. Did we find it? I think we did. And you know what? I brought him with me today. He was just here a little while ago. You know, sheep are not very smart. They start eating grass, and they start grazing, and they just move away, and I think he was going this way. Let's see if we can find him. Let's see if we can find him. Oh, no. I think he was going this way. Let's see if we can find him. Oh, no. 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 Oh, no.
Thank you, Mickey. Although I should have known if I turned her loose, I'd get a commercial for Carolina Sports and Serta all rolled into one. Well, a few months ago, you chose your favorite hymns, and today we come to number 6 on the list. But, you know, I am amazed that this hymn, Here I Am, Lord, made your top 10 list. Why? Well, it's a fairly new hymn. It was not published until 1981, and many of the other hymns in our hymnal are centuries old. And it was written by a Roman Catholic for a Roman Catholic audience. My Catholic friends joke about this song as, quote, the one you stole from us. But, you know, it hasn't been totally accepted by everyone. You know, you can't please everybody with anything, it seems. I went online and read some of the tweets that were written by Roman Catholics against this song. One wrote, I can't stand it. My daughter smirks at me when it starts playing because she knows I hate it. I would pay big bucks to never again hear it at Mass. Somebody else wrote, The priest should be disciplined for making us sing it so often. It's the liturgical equivalent of junk food. Somebody else wrote that it starts out, I, the Lord of sea and sky, don't make me sing the part of God. Well, I don't share those views. I was touched very deeply by the meaning of this song from the first time that I heard it, so much so that I chose this song to be sung at my ordination service now over 20 years ago. And I must confess, just personally, that every time I hear it, no matter where I am, it takes me back to that time and place and remembering what it felt like as I was being ordained as a minister of Word and Sacrament. But we all ought to open ourselves to God and say to God, here I am, Lord. Well, let me tell you the story of the background of the song, and I'm actually going to let the author himself tell you. Dan Schutt was the man who wrote it, and here's the story of what happened. He said, when I was a young 31-year-old Jesuit studying theology in Berkeley, California, a friend came to me one day and asked me a favor. Dan, I know this is late notice. Don't you love it when favors start out like that? I know this is late notice, but I'm planning for the diaconate and ordination ceremony, and I need a piece of music set to the text of Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the look of shock on my face, Dan wrote, knowing I was well aware the ceremony was only 3 days away. And on top of that, I told him I was sick with an awful case of the flu and didn't know if I could compose anything suitable in that short a time the way I felt. He encouraged me and told me that at the very least I should try to complete something in time for the ordination, so I said I would. I'd always loved the particular scripture passage, Isaiah 6, where God calls Isaiah to be his servant and messenger to the people. And Isaiah responds both with hesitation and doubt, but also with a humble willingness to surrender to God. If it was going to work, it would have to be God's power and grace making it happen. Much like Isaiah, I was not very sure that I could meet the request that my friend had made, but I was willing to try. I remember sitting at my desk with a blank music score in front of me and asking God to be my strength. As I sat there praying for help, I remembered also the call of Samuel, where God came calling in the middle of the night and asked Samuel to do something beyond what he thought he was capable of. I worked for 2 days on the piece, and I remember being completely exhausted. I was making some last-minute changes to the score as I walked it over to my friend who lived several blocks away. I remember being very unsure of myself, but hoping that it would be what he wanted for the ordination. And it was okay. It was more than okay. From the very beginning, people loved the piece and clearly identified with the dialogue between God and us that is at the core of the song. In the years following, so many have spoken to me or written how they had their own experience of God calling in the night and being given the courage to respond. For me, the story of Here I Am, Lord, tells of the God who overshadows us, giving power to our stumbling words and the simple works of our hands and making them into something that can be grace for people. The power God gives is far beyond what we could have planned or created. Well, that's what Dan wrote about it. The song was written in 1979, published in 1981. Since then, Dan Shutt has received many letters from people who have found the song so spiritually meaningful. I want to share one in particular with you. It was from an army captain serving in Afghanistan. The captain wrote that the troops would gather in a field for mass near where they were fighting, and their chaplain would lead them in singing, "Here I am, Lord." Now just stop a minute and think about that. Bunch of service men and women together, far, far from home, getting ready to face who knows what, maybe even loss of life, and gathering together to sing. The service men and women who'd grown up with the song knew it by heart. The captain said to the group, "We stand here now in this awful place where we're asked to serve our country, but for fear for our own lives, and all we can do is say to God, 'Here I am, Lord.'" What a moving experience it was for them. Now, the main scriptural text for this song is Isaiah 6. I want you to turn your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm going to have the prophet Isaiah tell you this story in his own words. My name is Isaiah ben Amos. That means Isaiah, son of Amos. I'm known as a prophet to the people of Judah long, long time ago, the people of God. Now, they call me a prophet, and you might misunderstand what I mean by that. Some of you, when you mention someone who's a prophet, you think of someone who foretells the future, like tells you in advance how many tournament wins the Duke basketball team will have in the coming year. But, you know, I did from time to time tell things that were going to happen in the future, but most of the time that's not what I did. Most of the time I just spoke God's word to God's people in a particular time and place, telling them what God had to say to them right here, right now. And most of the time that was a difficult thing to do. Look in Isaiah chapter 6 and listen to his story. In the year that King Uzziah died, now you might not have heard of King Uzziah, but I know him well. I lived at that time. King Uzziah ruled over Judah for some 52 years. Think about it in terms of presidential administrations. From Lyndon Johnson to Donald Trump. And all those presidential administrations, that's how long King Uzziah ruled over the people of Judah. And during the time that King Uzziah ruled, it was a very prosperous time. Our people started out, their wealth started out here, and it just went up, up, up during the king of Uzziah. So you know what people do during times of great prosperity? They spend a lot of money. They have a lot of fun, they enjoy a lot of pleasures, and they tend to forget God in the midst of that. Well, in the very year that King Uzziah died, which by the way was 742 BC, I saw the Lord. Now stop and think about that. The king, the great king of Judah that we all loved and adored, he has died. In fact, during the last part of his life, he kind of stayed secluded because he had leprosy for a while. And now the time has come that he has died. Every king, every great person on the earth in all of world history that everybody puts on a pedestal and looks up to, one day they will come to an end and they will die. But the Lord remains. So even though the king is dead, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Now, I know some of you might be theological nitpickers, and you might say, nobody can see God. It says it right in the Bible. Nobody can see God and live to tell about it. Well, that is true on some level, but on some other level, God allowed me to see at least a portion, maybe not the total amount, but at least a portion of His glory so that I could see the Lord and see what was happening. So I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, higher than the greatest heights, exalted above all things. And the train of His robe filled the temple. See, in my day, the temple was the place where we thought of, the people of God thought of as the very center, the presence of God. And so His train of His robe, the bottom of His robe, fills the temple. Above Him, seated on that great and high and exalted throne, were seraphs. Now, I know in your language, maybe you've even heard of sometimes called seraphim, the I am on the end. Well, that is just another way of saying, because in Hebrew, the I am at the end of the word is plural, so we can change it to English and say seraphs. These were angels. Each of them had six wings. Now, you haven't probably seen an angel like that, but you can start using your imagination and think about a great group of seraphs, angels, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces in reverence before the presence of God. With two wings, they covered their feet in modesty before God. And with two, they were flying in obedience to God's commands. And they were calling as they were there in this exalted place of God's throne, and they were flying back and forth, calling to each other over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Now, I was there, you weren't, but just think, imagine what an awesome scene that was. See the Lord on His throne, and then the seraphs flying and singing, as it were, "Holy, holy, holy." That God is holy, separate, different. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And then at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook. Look at this great building. Imagine if all of a sudden it started shaking. You'd be afraid, wouldn't you? And then the temple was filled with smoke. I didn't know what to do. Should I speak? Should I be quiet? Should I cry? Should I sing? I just did what came to my mind and heart, and I cried out, "Woe to me! I am ruined! For I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." I was very well aware of not just my shortcomings and failures, but my sin here in the very presence of God and His angels. So I confessed that to God. I said, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of those seraphs, remember, six wings, they're flying. One of them flew to me with a live coal in his hand. Psst, still kind of on fire, smoke coming from it. Brings me this coal which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. Remember, I said I was a man of unclean lips. I was sinful, even my lips. Well, he took that live coal and touched my mouth. Burned. But he said to me, "See, this has touched your lips. You've said your lips were unclean. You said you were a sinner, even in your lips. But now your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Total, complete, 100% cleansing and forgiveness. Now, seeing God, being God's presence, that was an awesome feeling. And then feeling a sinner, that was terrible. But now, being in God's presence and being completely forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know really what was as if God is holding court, and in the midst of the court, he cries out with this question. But somehow it just welled up within me to say, "Here am I. Send me." And God said, "All right, well then go and tell this people. All right, I've got a message from God to give to the people. This is going to be good. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes." No, this is not so good. I'm going to go and tell the people that spiritually they are calloused and dull and blind and not understanding. He said, "Do that, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, turn and be healed." Well, that's a negative message. So, Lord, how long? Maybe just a little while? He answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant." All the cities of the people of God, ruined. No one there. "Until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged. Until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken." This is not the message I want to give to the people. I want to give them something where they feel great about the message and about me. I don't want to tell them that God is going to judge them totally and completely. But I've learned this about God. God is true and just in his judgments. But even when he brings the worst judgment, the most severe judgment, there is mixed in there a ray of hope and a sign of mercy. Because he says, "Though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." He said, even though like a tree, you cut it down, maybe it's a great big tree, tall tree, but you cut it down, there's a stump left. There's a ray of hope that one day there will be a shoot again coming up out of that stump, and another tree will begin to grow. That even when God judges his people completely, there's a ray of hope for the future. Now that was my experience. What are you dealing with right now, today in your life? What's going on in your life? Are you willing to turn to God and say, "Lord, here I am. I don't feel like I have anything to offer you, anything good. There are other people here who have much more to offer than I do. They have more talents, more money, more time, better attitude. I don't have anything good to offer you." But you know, whatever you have, no matter how small, are you willing to say, "Lord, here it is. Take it. Here am I. Send me." Let us pray. Lord, what an awesome experience that was for the prophet Isaiah long, long ago. We may not have an experience anything like that or just like that, but we do have the same God. The same God who's calling out today. "I need someone to speak my word. I need someone to tell somebody else who I am." Lord, we may feel totally inadequate. Just about everybody that you called in the Bible said they felt inadequate too. And we certainly feel that way. But Lord, help us to be willing to say, "Lord, whatever I have, no matter how small, take it, use it, send me, use me." Lord, use us to be your light, to share your love. We think about the needs around us, even the ones that we've mentioned this morning. Those who've recently had surgery or are facing cancer treatments. Those who've recently lost loved ones. Lord, help us to reach out to them. And then, Lord, help us to reach out to all the hurting in your world. They are all around us. We can't save them all, but we can help one here or there. So, Lord, take us and use us. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught his followers long ago to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What do you have? Say to God, take it, use it. We do that as we present our offerings and our talents to the Lord. Lord, today we join our voices with all those around the world, indeed with the angels in your very presence, and all those who have gone before us, to give you honor and praise and to say thanks to you through the gifts that we present in your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In a moment, I'll pray for the food that you're going to be enjoying downstairs so that whoever gets down there first, you can go ahead and start eating. And then after we sing the benediction response, I want you to be able to enjoy hearing Barbara Bird play one more time. I told you that song was special to me, and it still is. As I was singing it just then, I thought back to my ordination. But I also think about today. You know, a long time ago, I answered God's call. But I've got to answer it again today. I've got to say to God again today, Lord, you know, long time ago I said I'd follow you, but I want to follow you today, wherever that leads me. And I want you to answer that call too. I know it's different, not necessarily to be a pastor, but to follow Jesus. That's what we're all trying to do. Answer that call. Will you follow Jesus today? Not just a long time ago, but today. So as you hear God's call to you, I invite you to answer. Not because you're worthy, not because you're good enough, but because of God's grace. And may God's grace continue to be active in you and give you all you need to follow Him. Just before the postlude, let me have a prayer with you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship that we've had. We pray that you'd bless us now as we go downstairs and enjoy the wonderful food. But more than that, Lord, we want to give you thanks for our youth and for all that they've done over the past year and all the ways that they have experienced your call. And we pray that you'd continue to bless them and lead them in the ways that you would have them to go. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior.